The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Vertical Journeys Podcast, where we'll dive into topics like my personal climbing journey, battling my fear of heights, the ethical responsibilities we as climbers bear, and climbing culture. Join us as we ascend into the fascinating world of climbing, one grip at a time. Hello, and thank you for joining me to listen to my podcast. Before I dive into climbing topics, I think it'd be important to give you a little background about who I am and how I got to where I am now. I'm a transfer student here at Dominican University, and I'm shooting for a bachelor's degree in business. I'm 27 years old, and while I grew up in Marin, I lived in both San Francisco and Oakland for 6 years before I eventually returned back home during the beginning of COVID. I have many passions, and in many ways, I see my passions as a reflection of who I am. Music is something that I'm constantly listening to, and more specifically, electronic music. Since I was 14, I've DJed a genre called drum and bass, and I've been involved in event planning and production of shows around the Bay Area. The local scene really formed me as a person during my formative years. It gave me a community, an identity, and ultimately, it allowed me to explore my passion in a safe space with people that encouraged and motivated me to constantly improve. Another passion of mine is video games. Since I can remember, my friends and family have been passionate about competitive gaming. I remember when I was 10 years old, my brother and I would stay up until 4 a.m. just to watch the StarCraft tournaments that were happening in Korea. I was in awe of how it was possible for a game to have so many complexities and just how large a skill gap there could be between great players and amazing players. I feel like I've learned a lot from taking competitive gaming seriously. But I think that the most important thing I took away from it was learning how to learn. It's a skill in and of itself to be able to spend your time most efficiently to learn the most you can about a given skill. Reviewing your previous work and analyzing it, analyzing what the best people in the field are doing, forcing yourself to work on your weak areas, even if it makes you uncomfortable, and consistency, right? These are the things that can help someone learn something in a year that others might learn into. And this way of seeing learning is something that came to me from taking gaming seriously. And it's a skill that has been transferable into many different areas of my life, including school and, of course, climbing. For the past 7 years, climbing has been one of my main passions. But like with anything, the path to getting where I am now has been riddled with ups and downs. I started climbing for the first time in high school. But at that point, I really didn't know much about it. It was just an after-school course that we were forced to do. And I went and I played around with my friends on the walls. But I really didn't take climbing seriously at that point in my life. Climbing was just a requirement that I had to do. And I did it. I climbed for a couple years, but I never really took it seriously. It wasn't until 2016 before climbing really came back into my life, and in a big way. In 2016, I learned about somebody I went to high school with, an acquaintance, somebody I would hang out with outside of school on occasion. We had mutual friends, but we weren't best friends. He was a climber. He took the same climbing class I did in high school, but he took it way more seriously. By the time he was 19 and 20, he was going to Yosemite regularly, climbing the big routes there on Half Dome and El Cap. In 2016, I found out about his passing. He passed while rappelling off of El Cap, which is a way for climbers to get off of a cliff. Chris was rappelling off of El Cap at night, and climbers the day before on the same route had cut their rope because it was stuck in a crack. The cut rope fell and got tangled in a tree. On the rappel, there are many fixed lines, ropes that are already there fixed to the rock so that climbers can use them to descend. In the darkness of the night, Chris confused the rope that was stuck in the tree for a fixed line. He clipped in his belay device into the line and began his rappel. But as he weighed his harness on the rope, it slipped from the tree and he fell almost 1,000 feet to the base of El Cap. It wasn't this event alone that sparked a curiosity in climbing for me, but it did make me curious about why someone could be so interested in a sport that could potentially mean the end of your life. At that point in my life, I had been spending most of my free time on the computer, and specifically on YouTube. And so naturally, I dove into the climbing hole of YouTube and digitally immersed myself into climbing culture. But unlike many other YouTube binges, climbing was something that stood out to me. It was a wild exploration into the unknown. You were really out there, left to your own devices to ensure your safety and success, and solely up to you to get to the top. I found climbing at a low point in my life, and I saw that this could be something I could use to prove to myself that I was capable of overcoming mental challenges in my life. And so began my climbing journey. But as I began to climb again, I soon became aware just how real that fear was. When I first went to the gym, I just started with bouldering. Bouldering is a form of climbing where you climb no higher than 10 feet and fall onto pads, unassisted by ropes. But I really wanted to attack my fear, and in order to do that, I had to do top rope. That meant climbing 50 to 60 foot walls attached to a rope. But the rope in my mind didn't exist when I was climbing. All I felt was fear, vertigo, spins. But it was something that I forced myself to get over, and I worked through it over a long period of time. I went to the gym 2 to 3 times a week in the beginning, and it took me a while before I eventually committed myself to the ropes more regularly. In the beginning, I would climb 20 feet, then 30 feet, and eventually I would get to the top on some of the easier climbs. But it took me a full year before I was climbing at my limit on top rope, unwavered by the fear of heights. This feeling of accomplishment, overcoming a fear that I thought was bound to me forever, was something that I wanted to chase. And in the future, it's something that I did chase to its utmost. Now, I'm climbing things that I thought I would only see in the YouTube videos. But the road to getting where I am at now wasn't as simple as climbing a 50-foot wall in a gym. Every time I had accomplished a step in overcoming my fear of heights, it felt like there was a new one just over the horizon. Next, in my climbing journey, I began to climb outdoors. This was a whole new type of fear for me. After my parents graciously paid for me to go on an outdoor climbing trip with a guide in Yosemite, my love for climbing grew even deeper. And it felt like I was chasing the dragon in regards to my fear of heights. Outdoor climbing in Yosemite opened up a whole new world of climbing to me, and it was what I envisioned myself doing when I first returned to the sport. It was a part of climbing that was entirely separate from gym culture, a world of adventure, teamwork, bonding, and empowerment, where the most important part wasn't how good of a climber you were, but how good of an experience you had. 2 weeks after my guided climb in Yosemite, I was hooked, and I immediately found somebody at the gym who wanted to go back with me. So we went to Yosemite and bummed it in Camp 4 just like the climbers in the old days, sleeping on nothing but a crash pad, a pad used to catch falling climbers from boulders outdoor. It was an exciting trip, and a trip that would change the rest of my life, because on that trip, I met my future climbing mentor, who came by our camp one day, asking if anybody wanted to climb tomorrow. The next day we woke up, met my partner Mike, and went climbing. He roped us up, and that's where I did my second outdoor climb. It was just one pitch, about 100 feet, but it was a chimney climb, a climb where you had to get your entire body in a tight chimney, a squeezed chimney at that. One that you could barely fit in, almost get stuck in. It was an incredible second experience of climbing. But more importantly, I met Mike. I found out later that Mike lived only 20 minutes away from me, and we went to the same gym too. I would get Mike's number, and in a couple weeks, we would schedule my second big outdoor climbing trip. I drove up to a place called Lover's Leap, a place that would eventually become my climbing home, a church of sorts. At that time, I barely knew who Mike was, and climbing is dangerous, but I wanted to get out there. I wanted to learn the ropes. And I was willing to take a chance with Mike, having climbed with him only once in Yosemite. So I put my trust in him to take me up a nearly 300-foot vertical face. When I got to Tahoe, I met Mike and he was in high spirits. He wanted to do a climb that he hadn't done for a long time. A climb that he would later tell me he broke both of his legs on. I'm glad he didn't tell me before we started climbing, because I probably would have said no to the climb if I knew that. When you climb outdoors, you climb in pairs. One person goes up, placing gear that will catch them as they fall. And then they fix the ropes at a station called a belay. The belays are anywhere from 100 to 200 feet apart, depending on the climb. On this climb, the first pitch was an almost full 200 feet apart. The wind carried his voice away, like a wisp of smoke vanishing into the open sky, leaving only a faint echo of his words lingering in the air. The silence scared me, unsure if Mike had me safe and if I was good to climb. I ended up waiting for about 10 minutes to ensure that I was safe, and eventually there was a break in the wind, and I heard through it, "You're on belay," and I knew what that meant. I was ready to climb. But unlike the climb in Yosemite, this climb was perfectly vertical. The climb in Yosemite was at an angle, with large ledges every 60 to 70 feet or so. In some ways, when you looked down, it made it feel like you weren't that far from the ground ever. But on this climb, it was 300 feet straight up. That meant there were no hiding from my fear. We decided to tackle a climb called Surrealistic Pillar. It's one of the most historic routes at an already very historic climbing area. And about 80 feet up, you have to cross a gap with open air below your feet. It's an impossible portion of the climb not to look straight down to the ground. And in that moment, my arms started trembling, my breathing began to pick up, and I fell. I fell about 20 feet, and the rope caught me, and I was fine. Later, getting caught by the rope is something that would make me feel more comfortable about a climb. But this being my second outdoor big climb with a new person I had never really climbed with before, I was trembling. And in that moment, all I wanted to do was be off the wall. I had a choice, and I chose to come here. But why? The thing about it was, these thoughts weren't going to get me out of the situation I was in. When you start a climb, it's possible to go down, but in many cases, it's easier to just complete the climb. And this was one of those cases. I was physically capable. I just needed to tell myself that I was mentally capable. And eventually, after 5 minutes of sitting on the rope, getting through my panic attack, telling myself I could do it, I started to climb again. Eventually, Mike and I made it to the top of Surrealistic Pillar, and immediately I was filled with a sense of relief. But the emotion that stuck with me long after completing that climb was a feeling of satisfaction and awe. Thinking back about that experience, I couldn't believe what I had done. Although this was only a single step in conquering my fear of heights, for the first time, I could finally see a potential end in sight. Overcoming my fear has been a transformative journey, one that has imparted invaluable lessons and a profound sense of empowerment. The initial grip of fear can often feel suffocating, like a shadow casting doubt on our abilities. However, as I confronted my fears head-on, I discovered strength within myself that I never knew existed. It's as if each challenge I face serves as a stepping stone towards personal growth and empowerment. This process taught me that with determination and resilience, I can accomplish anything I set my mind to. I've come to understand that fear is merely a temporary barrier, and once we break through it, the possibilities are limitless. The knowledge that I can conquer my fears has instilled in me a newfound sense of confidence and the belief that I can achieve my goals, no matter how daunting they may seem. This journey has reaffirmed the truth that empowerment often lies on the other side of fear.